Is there a photographer in the room? I want somebody to take a picture of this and say this is our typical Sunday morning. On behalf of the session of Old South Haven Presbyterian Church, I want to welcome you to this congregation, which proves that even a small church of 50 members can still play the role of hosting a Presbyterian meeting. It was about a year and a half ago when I received an email from Richard Thomas, who is not only our church treasurer, but is also a history buff with a particular interest in the history of this congregation and this presbytery and our local community. And the email began, "Hi, Tom. Maybe the presbytery would like to hold its meeting at Old South Haven in March 2013. It would mark the 250th anniversary of when the presbytery held its first meeting at the South Haven Meeting House, March 23, 1763. The presbytery was the Presbytery of Suffolk then, organized in 1747. This is interesting. The Presbytery of Suffolk County was self-formed without the authority of any synod. We live up to this tradition. There already existed the Presbytery of New York, formed in 1738, which did have jurisdiction over all of Long Island. Well, needless to say, as a history buff myself, I immediately picked up on Richard's suggestion, shared it with our session, and they decided to offer the invitation to the presbytery. Your meeting here today indicates that the Shepherding Council bought into this idea as well. The building in which we are meeting, the 1828 meeting house, is said to incorporate timber from the frame of the old meeting house. So today you are meeting at least partially within the walls in which that meeting took place 250 years ago. Well, in the last year and a half, Richard and others have tried to go deeper into the circumstances of that meeting. And a week ago today, Richard and John Dietz drove down to Philadelphia, where they spent a day checking through Presbytery archives and then sent me an email upon their return. It began, "Hi, first the good news. The ink used to record the minutes of Suffolk Presbytery, a bound manuscript stored at the Presbyterian Historical Society in Philadelphia, had not faded at all, and the handwriting was easy to read. In fact, we have a couple copies, photocopies of those minutes for you today if you care to look at them." Richard's email went on to describe the minutes of that meeting on March 23, 1763. A significant item of that meeting was dealing with the South Haven pastor, the Reverend Abner Reeve, who was probably the first resident minister for this congregation. The minutes of that meeting express, quote, "an uneasiness which has arose in Mr. Abner Reeve's parish on account of his having lately been guilty of using spirituous liquor in an intemperate manner." I was going to say present pastor follows in his footsteps, but I won't. End of quote. "He was suspended from the office of ministry until the next session of the presbytery in order that the presbytery may then, quote, receive further light and come to a final conclusion with regard to him. Reeve himself then requested his dismissal. He was, however, reinstated sometime later when he indicated he had reformed." Well, finally I got to Richard Thomas's paragraph that began, "Now the bad news." The meeting on March 23, 1763 was not the first time the presbytery met at South Haven, as had been stated by Nathaniel Scudder Prime in his 1845 book, A History of Long Island, page 232. Now you know what Richard does in his spare time. The first meeting held in South Haven, according to the minutes kept down there in Philadelphia, was nearly 4 years earlier. The result, yes, we are celebrating the 250th anniversary of the meeting of the Presbytery of Suffolk of 1763. It's just not the first Presbytery meeting at the South Haven Meeting House. We are nearly 4 years late for that. As a former teacher of history, we call this revisionist history. Just a few words about our history here at Old South Haven. Worship began here around 1717, organized by the Reverend George Phillips. Its first building was erected in 1740 and located on what is now Montauk Highway at the Carmans River. Among early members was William Floyd, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and Nathaniel Woodhull, later a general under George Washington, eventually captured and killed by the British. And on June 13, 1774, the parish voted to support the Revolutionary War. And during that war, the original meeting house was burned by the rebels because the British were using it as a stable and storehouse. This present building was erected in 1828 and moved to this site on December 29, 1960. Originally, some of the funding for this building was covered by selling pews, and one is still marked as owned by the Suffolk Club. I think it's where you're sitting, Sharon, but I'm not positive. The Suffolk Club was a hunting and fishing club to which Daniel Webster belonged. And the story is told, and many will swear it is true, that Daniel Webster in 1827 was worshiping here at Old South Haven when word came to him that a particular fish, a huge trout, long sought, had been spotted in the Carmans River. Webster took off. Pastor Ezra King knew why Webster and others had left and stopped preaching. That's one way to get a sermon of that. He produced the benediction and headed with others to the Carmen River, which was simply a stone's throw from this meeting house. Webster, feeling his luck was due to his having been at worship, had a replica of the fish made and mounted as a weather vane on our steeple. The original is now down in the Belport Historical Museum, but a replica of it was mounted on our steeple for a long period of time until a storm brought it down just about a year ago. If anyone wants to contribute to restoring it, we'll take up the offering later. But you will find in the gallery, together with a courier painting and a description of the event of that Webster catching the fish. Now, through the years, Old South Haven has been served by a few installed pastors and several temporary supplies, I being the latest. I learned through Richard and John's research and an email from a former member, Richard Beyer, from back in the 1950s, that for a short period of time, just prior to Charles Kellogg coming to Old South Haven, this church was served by Charles Bradley Templeton. Probably not a name known to most of you. But Chuck Templeton was a friend of Billy Graham, and it was anticipated that he, not Graham, would become the great evangelical preacher. Graham has said of Templeton, and I quote, "Chuck was the most brilliant, able man I've known. He was a true intellectual. He could do anything." Templeton and Graham co-founded Youth for Christ International, with the two of them touring the country, holding revivals, and they drew crowds of tens of thousands. Now, either during his time at Old South Haven or shortly after leaving around 1957, after a long struggle with doubt, Templeton declared himself an agnostic. Richard Thomas adds a footnote to the story. "I guess the moral to Mr. Templeton's story is even an internationally known evangelist and graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary may become a self-affirmed agnostic after serving the South Haven congregation." This church has been known to be on the cutting edge of social and political issues. In June of 1963, the church sponsored a series of peace seminars, the last of which featured Norman Thomas as speaker. Norman Thomas was not only a Presbyterian minister, he campaigned for the presidency of the United States 6 times on the socialist ticket. A few years later, Father Daniel Berrigan spoke here in protest of the Vietnam War, and a few members of the congregation dropped their membership. Old South Haven became the first more light congregation in this presbytery, welcoming gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons. When New York State passed legislation for marriage equality, the session here immediately voted to support its pastor should he be asked to officiate at a same-gender marriage ceremony. And in June, we will be holding an event here in terms of how religious communities can be welcoming for transgendered individuals. I believe we are unique that of our 50 members, we have spouses of four clergy in our membership. And I am proud also that we have paid our per capita at the very beginning of the year, each year, and given strong support to the Presbytery's mission budget, as well as to local mission. And we have been a strong support to three of the special offerings of our denomination. Well, there's the welcome. Now, the sad note, there's only one bathroom in this building, in the gallery behind, one in the carriage house, I won't go into that. But there are additional bathrooms in the Episcopal Church where we will be having our supper meal. Thank you.